Better stand.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead. Till every foe is vanquished, Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey. For to the mighty conflict, this is glorious day. Ye that are men now serve him against unnumbered foes. Rise with danger, strength to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him that overcometh, a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for a beautiful, gray, rainy day. For the opportunity to come here today, Lord, to your house. For the opportunity, Lord, to worship you. Thank you, Lord, for the good week we've had. There are folks that are sick, Lord, that are down physically, Lord, but I just pray, Lord, you'd be with them all and that you might get them back here again with us soon. Thank you, Lord, for our pastor being here today. He's going to try to preach again today, Lord. Lord, just so many things that we have to be thankful for. I just pray, Lord, that we not forget to just turn to you, Lord, and give you thanks for what you've done. As John does preach today, Lord, just guide and direct him, use him today, Lord. I pray that he has the strength to deliver your message today, that it might touch someone's heart, that someone needs to get right with you, Lord, before they leave today. May they do so. Lord, thank you so much for our great nation, but I pray for our nation, Lord, especially our leaders, that they might one day turn, Lord, to you for what they need in guiding our nation. But, Lord, we know the job being done is not good. Help us, Lord, especially with the upcoming day of voting, Lord, that we would remember to vote for who you, Lord, first of all, would have us vote for. Be with us, Lord, as we go into your service now. Guide and direct, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let's see. 615, please. 615.
There is joy in serving Jesus as I journey on my way. My heart with praises every There is joy, joy, joy in serving Jesus, joy that throbs within my heart every moment.
verse 3. There is joy in serving Jesus as I walk along with God. With the joy of Christ my Savior, who the path of suffering trod. There is joy, joy, joy in serving Jesus, joy that throbs within my heart. Every moment, every hour, as I draw upon His power, is joy, joy, joy that never shall depart. Sing the last. There is joy in serving Jesus, joy amid the darkest night. For I've learned the wondrous secret, and I'm walking in the light. There is joy, joy, joy in serving Jesus, joy that draws within my heart. Every moment, every hour, as I draw upon His power, there's joy, joy, joy that never shall depart. Thank you. Let's see. Tonight's our evening service at 6. We have communion tonight, so don't forget that. The 6th, we're going to meet at Subway at 6 o'clock for fellowship before the service. That's kind of different, so remember that. Iron Sharpens Iron is going to meet on the 12th at 6:30. Check with Sandra or Kathy for women's Bible study. They didn't receive any dates yet, so. See, Deacon meeting on the 21st, the 26th, Thanksgiving service at Walnut Park. Don't forget, you come here, you're going to be by yourself. No Wednesday service on the 27th. Pastor Song for the week, the health of a plant is in part determined by its roots. Are your roots growing in good soil? Guys, you'll come forward. We'll take up the morning off. Let's pray. Father, again, thank you again for getting us here today. Good group out today, Lord, anticipating a little time in your word as we go in with our pastor. Lord, I just ask you, guide and direct, and be with the gift and the giver, Lord, as we take up an offering. Thank you, Lord, for the blood of our Savior who was shed on the cross, Lord, for our sins, and in the ultimate resurrection, Lord, that He got over death. Thank you for this time, Lord. Help us as we study together. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's see, 570, please. 570. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently of grief or pain, leave to thy God to order and provide in every change.
still my soul. Thy God doth undertake to guide the future as he has the past. I hope thy confidence let nothing shake. Still my soul, the winds and winds still know. His voice who ruled them while he dwelt below. Be still my soul, the hour is hastening on. Shall be forever with the Lord. When disappointment, grief, and fear are gone, those who walk love's purest joys restored. Be still my soul.
You're gonna sing, Kim. Go ahead. Kim.
Yeah.
Sharon's going to sing for us.
Well, this is a song that's very dear to my heart. Whenever I sing it, I always think of when God touched me and brought me into his circle. And I thank God every day for that. He touched me, and oh. that floods my soul. Thing happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Then I met this blessed Savior. He cleansed and made me whole. I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me, oh, he touched me. And oh, joy that fills my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole.
As that song starts out, how's that verse start out with that again? Shackled by a heavy burden. Yeah. Yep. Neath a load of guilt and shame. I tell you what, my friends, Jesus is there today to remove that load from you, and we can cast our cares on him because he indeed cares for us. I better get to the position I'm supposed to be in here, but welcome this morning, and know this, that Jesus loves you this day, and he cares about you deeply and wants you to be a part of his family. He died for us, and he loves us that much that God had to come and die for the sins of humanity. And yes, young folks, you may go down at this time, and I'm going to draw up a seat here in just a minute. I am glad to see a nice group out today, even despite the inclement weather, but I'm a little like what has been said before. I kind of like a day like this every so often, and even though I've kind of been confined for quite a while, it still is a comforting thought to curl up and say, well, I can't really be outside today, so I can be inside with the Word of God and meditating and rejoicing with Him. Anyway, I got to get up where I can see here. There we go. It's good to again be with you today in Jesus' name. And if you're visiting here today, we're glad you're here, but we're glad for everyone that's come through those doors and trust today that you'll have a life-challenging experience here this morning as we look into the Word, and that you won't leave here the same way that you came. Know this, that we have several people of our number that are maybe under the weather or recuperating from accidents or surgeries, and so remember to keep them in prayer, but also think about our community around us that is spiritually, potentially unhealthy. And even people within our own number that may be struggling in their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ today. Some maybe have made a decision not to come for various reasons. Let me tell you, though, the decision is I don't need it is not valid. Because all of us need Jesus, and he wants us to gather. So I commend you for being here today as best we can to gather with the saints, because we need it badly. Anyway, before we start this morning, I will have a pastoral prayer, but we will take a few minutes again to privately and silently pray to the Lord this morning to adjust our hearts for worship, because that is one of the reasons we're here, as I say every week, that we bring God honor and glory and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Spirit. So we need to adjust our hearts in that way to let God know that He is worthy this morning in our lives. And so maybe that takes on the form of confession or repentance, and we could maybe all of us legitimately say, Lord, I'm not as close to you today as I should be, but draw me closer. I understand who you are, and I do want to give you praise and glory today in this time. And then also, secondly, we're here for edification from the Word, and that's very important as well, the life-changing Word of God and the Holy Spirit's use of it, but also for fellowship and for encouragement and friendship, building one another up in Christ. Those are some of the functions of the church internally, as well as discipleship and evangelism that we go about externally as well. So we have a purpose, and we have a wonderful Savior Day to praise. So I'm going to stand up at this time. Welcome once again to everyone. We will take just a few moments here to silently talk to the Lord, and then I'll finish with a pastoral prayer, and we'll hit the ground running. So let's go in prayer to the Lord at this time. Our loving and merciful Father in heaven, today we gather once again as your church, the called out ones, the believers that have been acknowledged and been brought under the blood of the Lamb who died for the sins of the world. We thank you today, Lord, for this gathering, and it is something that you have appointed us to do, that we ought not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So today is the gathering of believers. But we're thankful, Lord, for everyone we have here today, whether they are or are not a born-again believer in Christ. But we know this today, that your offer of freedom and forgiveness through the work of your Son, Jesus, on the cross is apparent to all of us. I pray today, Lord, that you would give us that attitude as we think about ourselves and place ourselves way down the line here, Lord, but place you first in line. And think of all the wonderful things that you have done. And Lord, the fact that you indeed are totally worthy of our praise and accolades. Lord, we can never give you enough for what you deserve. But help our hearts to be adjusted today, Lord. Lord, we live in a dynamic time when you are working. You always have worked. You know the beginning from the end. But we know, Lord, from the perspective of humanity, and especially in the Western cultures and here in the United States, we live in a time of great turbulence. But we know this, Lord, that your adversary, Satan, is at work, but you have overcome him. And so we ask today that you'd bind his hands in regard to our own personal lives, the life of the church, but also, Lord, the life here in our nation, that we would see people again, Lord, wanting to make you king. And realizing that the frailties of humanity are never a way that will cure all the needs that there are. So, Lord, my prayer today not only is for those internally, those of the family of God this morning, and those that are suffering from all types of maladies, from recoveries, health issues, but, Lord, also maybe spiritual issues today. And, Lord, maybe some have just made a decision and said, you know, I just don't want to go to church today. I don't need it. Well, Lord, we do need it. And I pray for those hearts today that have said, I'm going to forsake. But, Lord, when we think about the internal, we also think of the external. And you've placed this church here in Fruitland. And, Lord, we have neighbors, friends, maybe some enemies even, Lord. We don't know, but we know that there are people outside of our walls that may not know you. Help this church, Lord, and the people that make it up to be salt and light in the world and in the community around us today. Lord, we also pray for a soul to be saved today, to be rescued, to be delivered. That's what salvation means, to be delivered from the default path of eternal death that humanity is on because of the fall of the two originators of our human race, and that being Adam and his wife Eve. And Lord, we suffer under those things yet this day. Help us, O Lord. We are weak, but you are strong. Lord, again today, we just think of all the things that go on in this world. Lord, we thank you for your word, the answer book. It tells us why, and it tells us how these things will be handled. And so, Lord, again today, I pray you would open our eyes and open our hearts. Now today, Lord, I'm going to be speaking against your adversary and ours, Satan. And I know very well, Lord, from experience that this can be a very challenging thing, and oftentimes we're attacked for it. But, Lord, I'm going to stand up here, or sit, I guess, in the case I am today. I'm going to come up here and preach it, and, Lord, I just got to turn it over to you. Because you're the only one that can deal with it, but it's a privilege to speak for you this day, O Lord. Now forgive my frailties, and I pray, Lord, that you'll help me and undergird my teaching today through the power of the Holy Spirit, that at least some profit would come from this, Lord, today for your glory and for the hearer, and, Lord, that we would all be changed here as we leave this place today. Anyway, Lord, we give it all to you for your honor and glory today. And I ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the title of our message today is, and this is a carryover, you should have some notes. If you don't have some of my scrawling scratch notes, there should be some in the back today if you did not keep that from last week. But the title of our message today is The Fall of Lucifer and Demonic Activity. And this was indeed a message that was requested. And so we'll do our best to pick up where we left off last week. I noticed in Lonnie's prayer this morning, and I appreciated that. By the way, pray for one another. That's what the Bible says. And if you run out of things to pray about at any given time, you can always pray for your pastor. Amen. Because I need it. And these things are, there is spiritual warfare going on that we'll learn about this morning. And that goes on. And yes, Jason's got some extra copies here. Believe me, it attacks all Christians. And there is a warfare that goes on in the heavens, and we'll talk about that a little this morning. But back to what I was trying to get to with Lonnie there, I appreciate it in his prayer. He said something to the effect that pray for our pastor who's going to try to speak today. And I'm going to tell you the truth, Lonnie, you hit it right on the head, because that's the truth. I go back to something my dad told me years ago. He said, John, you know, if you don't own something, you're only owning at it. It's the same way with preaching. You cannot preach the perfect message. You cannot preach everything the Bible has in it. You're preaching at it. That's the way I want to look at it. Well, he said, if you still owe on something that you've purchased, you do not own it until it's paid off. And it's the same way with preaching. At its very best, it's inadequate. And in my case, there's a frailty there. And by the way, I forgot to pray for other pulpits this morning. Bible teaching, believing churches that are preaching the Word of God today. May you help them, Lord. So today, that's what I'll attempt to do, is to preach at it. And we keep at it. And as you get older and understand there are no perfect messages, you'll never get it all done. And you have to set parameters like time limits, like the clock. Speaking of the clock, is the clock on time back there? Absolutely. Now we're back on God's time for a while, right? Standard time. Or is this daylight savings time? No, we're off God's time. We're on daylight savings time now. We're back on standard time, right? I'll tell you what, I haven't been the best lately. I'm not as sharp as I used to be after all this has happened. By the way, so you know, what the doctors have said is that a week from Wednesday, unless something goes haywire, the in-home nurses are going to allow me to go back out on a limited basis. But I will again be able to be out some, and I will be, Lord willing, a week from Wednesday. But until then, I'm restricted to Sunday morning here to come and preach, and at Moscow. So that's where I'm at. Thank you for all your prayers. If you want to see where I've improved, I've got the picture downstairs, but some of you have seen it. I thank God for that. Thank God for all your prayers. But anyway, today, on to our topic at hand. Let me ask you for a little feedback. Speak up here this morning. What ways do you see demonic activity around you today? I'll just take a few thoughts here this morning. And do you think it's increased or diminished in later times? Well, I'm seeing heads nodding that it's increased. Anyone want to throw out a few things? Yeah. Yeah. Kim says the breakdown of the family. Anything else? Ginger? Indoctrination, yep, in the schools, but in other places. There's several things that I'm going to hit on briefly this morning. This will probably be another carryover message, but these things are important for us to consider. You got it, Lonnie. That's one of them. Turn to start with here this morning, just very briefly, to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 1 and 2 for just a minute here. 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. Now, I have the King James here this morning, and I like how this is rendered here, but here's what the Lord told the Apostle Paul to tell the young Timothy, the young pastor here that's under his training or tutelage. He says, now, he's saying to Timothy, and this was around 1900 years ago, plus or minus, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, it says here. Or expressly means definitively, okay? In other words, this is something we need to perk our ears up at. Paul's telling this to Timothy. He says, "The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils or demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." Folks, what Paul's writing about there, he's not writing about the nominal culture, even though that also has a definite effect, which we'll allude to here in just a minute. But he's talking about what Lonnie just brought up. He's talking about the church and the demonic influence in the lives of Christians. Now, we learned a basic premise last week in this. If you're a born-again, blood-bought believer here in Jesus Christ today, and you possess the Holy Spirit, which you do, I have a message about that for a Bible study on a Wednesday night. I just handed it to Danny this morning. But if you are one who has trusted in Jesus Christ, believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, called in His name, and been saved, you possess the indwelling of God's third personality, the Holy Spirit. And where the Holy Spirit of God dwells, where the personality of God dwells in the believer, a demonic influence in dwelling cannot be there. But here's the thing we always say. Christians still can be oppressed by Satan and his influence, but they cannot be possessed by demons. Praise God for that this morning. But exactly right what Paul said here. And why did he say that? And this is not the whole basis of our message. He says, because their consciences have been seared with a hot iron. Because even Christians today, including myself, have been degraded. We've been brought under the auspices of demonic activity. And we let a lot of things go in our own lives and in the church that we shouldn't be doing. None of us here that are have some gray hair cannot deny that we've seen a slippage in believers for sure. We see things that go on in the churches or under the auspices of the church that several generations ago would have never been allowed. But we see it with regularity today. We cannot deny that. Now, back to our premise here this morning, but you can take a look at that, what Paul said. Be aware, be perked up about this expressly, because he says as the days grow more in time to when the Lord works his end times events, demonic activity is going to increase. We need to be prepared for that. We need to be aware of it personally, but also as a church. Now, that's not the basic thrust of our message today, but let me share another little quick story with you here about how times have changed. But I don't know if anyone was going to say that the media today has a great influence for demonic things. Well, how can you deny it? I remember back to Jeff's Collie Lassie. Once in a while I see on my... Anyone remember that? Yeah. Gramps, remember him? George Cleveland, Jan Clayton was the mom. Tommy Reddick was Jeff. And of course Lassie. But you remember what, I've said this many times, what Gramps called the TV when they first got it? The vision box. We're a long way from TV today, even though we most of us have a set in our homes, but we have a bombardment of multimedia. Folks, let me list it out. Through music, all types of things, again, that are connected with the internet, pornography, all kinds of demonically influenced things in our life. It's just momentarily away from us. And folks, Satan has worked his ways in people's hearts and lives. And let's lay it on the line. We're all struggling with this stuff because it has invaded our total culture. You cannot even turn on a news report and not see or read, or hear, or whatever the case may be, of the influence of Satan in our world today. And folks, give me some more things. You've got them here. Someone's been looking at my message ahead of time again. Yeah, you've heard this from me before. Let's go to Revelation 18:23 while we're back toward the back of the Bible. You're right. And that's all prophesied. Revelation 18 and 23. And I got to turn one more page here. Now, folks, this is all going to culminate in a time yet to come, which I believe is the tribulation. 7 years where God's dealing specifically with the nation of Israel, but with the world and with its sin, coming to a finality where Satan and his demons will be cast into the lake of fire eventually. But what we see here is Satan's last efforts to try to take out and to have this activity increased, which 1 Timothy 4 is about in the church, but I'm talking here in general, but even in the church today. And this will bring us to the influence of all this. Again, can we all admit today we're under the influence of media? The various types of medias. Yeah. But remember with everything, folks, you still have control over what you're going to intake. Okay. And there's an old song, we should sing it with the kids. Input, output, what goes in must come out. What you take in is what you'll produce. We still have the ability to drop most of this stuff out of our lives. But whoever said drugs, verse 23, and here again, as God deals with humanity during this period, but even so, we see it today in our age because it's a ramped up thing. It is not something, the things we see in front of us today that Satan has done did not happen overnight. They happened how? They happened gradually, where we said, oh, well, I guess I can put up with it. That's not so bad. You remember the first time there was a swear word used on television? Today, it's not only bad, but it's getting worse. The words that I hear come out of people's mouths, including some of our political people. And the light of the candle shall shine no more in at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. This is how things are going to be, folks. It's going to be dark. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. Folks, what's going on today is not just something that's happened out of a phenomenon that came out of nowhere. I want to tell you that what is behind all this and what is behind what Satan does is money. And the love of the flesh. You agree with that this morning? It didn't just happen. There's something behind it. And who's behind it? Tell me. Satan is. But notice here, for thy merchants were great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. Now you've heard me speak on this before, and I don't want to get stuck on this. And I had a little fun because for a while here, we're on the same thing in Moscow, but I said the Greek word here for sorcery is the word pharmakia, and I spelled it pharmakeia, because you can get addicted on the farm. The farm life can consume you too, and the things that go with it, but no, it's pharm. Pharmakia, drugs, pharmacy, that's where we get the word pharmacy. By the way, a lot of pharmacies are closing, but folks, it will not end the drug culture that we live in. Mind-altering substances, things that change the way that God has designed us into something that can be used by control of demons. And folks, if you know anything about the drug culture, especially with the mind-altering drugs, it is something that Satan can get a hold of, and you will be hooked and unable to be unhooked from it. And I believe this with all my heart, folks. There are all kinds of things that you can do for cures, but I believe the only cure that will last is when you're cured in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's truly the only one that can deliver you. You can try all the other stuff, but what I have experienced and seen is that it's only Jesus that can take that desire away from that. But folks, that's where Satan wants people. He wants people duped. And you talk about the media. Do you ever have this ear? And I'm talking here about legal and illegal drugs, but by the way, I think you'll see a day in America where everything will be, it's fine, you know? And you can debate about marijuana and the medicinal value and different things, and I agree it has some of that, the different oils and that. But folks, whenever our minds are altered from the course that God would have it to be on, it's not a good thing. And the Christian should stand against that. First of all, in our own lives. But I'm thinking, Jardiance is really swell. The little pill with the big story to tell. Da 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 da. Catchy tune. By the way, I think the best one was the first one that came out with the gal that sang it. Kim and I have debated about that. By the way, I'm on Jardiance. I take 6 pills. One of them's an aspirin every day. That's it. But folks, it's our sin, and it's this type of stuff that, and I'm not saying it's a sin to take Jardiance, but it could be, okay? If there's a reason we're taking it that is a sin issue in our lives. Do I have sin issues in my life? Go ahead and tell me. Sure. John, some of your problems are caused by the fact that you what? Well, you can be blunt about it. I have not always chosen the best diet. That's sin. But you know what? It can be sin also if you're thin as a rail and you've done things that you shouldn't have done to be that way. Or, you know, bottom line, what am I saying here to all of us? We're all in the same boat. But Satan picks these scabs, and I'm telling you, folks, these things, people are into pharmakia big today. And the reason it's big is just like I said with the internet, because there's what behind it? Money. Satan will deceive the nations through sorcery. And folks, he's doing it. He's done it. Sorcery has many things. It's not just drugs. Pharmakia is the case here, but sorcery is witchcraft. It's all kinds of things that deal with the realm that we aren't exposed to directly, but if we choose to mess with it, it puts us in danger. And that's really the point of this message, and the time's already gone. This may be several weeks. I know a good preacher, and you may get one sometime. We'll have it all down to a few points. You're out of here in time. But folks, that's just not the way I'm wired. You've known this from the start. I've told you, I'm an apologist. I want to give you what the Bible says about stuff, no matter if it takes some time to get it done. Because there's a reason to know all these things. You know, the 3-point in a poem thing doesn't cut it. But you can get someone like that to preach, and you'll be out of here earlier, Faith. Get ahead of the line up at wherever you eat. Anyway, the point of all of this stuff, though, is that there is increased demonic activity. Anyone else want to say anything today about it? But can we admit it's there? Quickly, someone. Yes, sir, Bud. Yeah. I'll tell you a little something about the pole and the snake, and here's how we get late, but I think it's important. Moses, remember what God did? The people were being bit by snakes as they monkeyed around in the desert for 40 years. And God said, put a brass snake on the pole, and everyone that looks at that snake will be healed. And you know what that represents? That snake represented Jesus being lifted up as he bore our sins. He became a snake with our sins, and who will look at that will believe on that for salvation, and they were saved, and they were delivered from that. But here's the thing, Bud, what's happened with that is it's been twisted around. The snake on the pole now has to do with what? Pharmakia. Because most physicians today don't treat for cures, they treat the symptoms of the disease. Bottom line, this is all stuff we need to be watching after, folks. Christians, we need to be aware of these things. And I believe this, there's a lot of churches never even touch stuff like this. Jason.
Yeah, I believe a lot of the diagnosed mental conditions are actually spiritual conditions.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Just, you know, let's just
give them another pill. Yep. It masks the senses. And folks, let me just say this. When Jesus went to the cross, he felt the pain of our sin. He suffered under the pain of our sin. I can't calculate the numbers, billions of people on that cross Jesus died for. If you were able to calculate all the humanity that ever existed and all that will future, he endured that pain, but he endured that, you know. And so we got to get it together too. No one wants to see pain and suffering in people, but you know what? If it comes to having our mind and our good senses altered to mask something, that will not fix anything. And I believe what Jason said is true. We have a nation that is saturated with psychosomatic drugs, all kinds of things that people use to get along, whether it's alcohol, whatever. So we're there, folks, and you have to be careful with that stuff and where it came from and the purpose in it. All right, anyone else want to throw anything on the table quick? Go ahead, Doug. Yep. Go back to Isaiah 6, and the same thing that happened in Israel. What was bad was now good, and what was good is now bad. And that's the symptoms, folks, of a nation that's just about done for. That's what happened, and it's always happened that way. You can look at the Roman Empire, you can look at any great civilization, and there are places where they're coming close to the end. It's about all she wrote. And we got to tell it the way it is. America's in that shape today, folks. I don't care who gets put in that office. We got a lot of trouble. But let me tell you, we have a God of all possibilities that can fix it if people will come back to Him. All right. Anyone else got a comment?
Transitional.
What's that, Bert?
Transitional people have children up to make them boys and girls grow to boys.
Oh, yeah. Hey, look at everything going on today around you. This is satanic stuff.
Yes.
Sure, the gender bending. Yeah. All these things. Hey, folks, God wired us male and female. That's what the Bible says. And you will not, if you change that, you can make a choice to do that, but let me tell you, there's repercussions for that because we were created in God's image, and you mess around with it, it will not be good. Judy.
Wendy,
I'm sorry. I don't have my all-seeing glasses on this morning.
I was just going to say, co-workers that are not believers.
Sure.
We have to work closely with them every day. So.
Could it even be that some employers are demonically... And again, like old Dr. Colas, some of you remember him, follow the money trail. Okay, we're getting into trouble here. Kathy?
I just want to say, just drive down the street and look at people's yards. You know, witches, skeletons, demons, bats.
We talked about that last week. By the way, we want to be careful about that realm, and we'll get to that eventually here. But the bottom line, we touched on it last week briefly, Satan from his fall has been there to try to separate people from the cross of Christ. From the Garden of Eden looking forward, and from where we're at today looking backward to the cross. Because the cross is the defeat point of Satan. Hallelujah. And if we miss that, see, that's what Satan wants. He wants us to be defeated, to be dependent. You could probably pick all kinds of D's. But we're not, folks. We have victory in the Lord. But anyway, let's go back. We talked just a little bit about fallen angels. You know, there's a couple of things that are important to remember about today. Remember what Paul told Timothy, but we're also going to go to Revelation 12 here in just a minute. But no matter how you look at this, folks, if you believe the Nephilim were the product of fallen angels that were involved with women, human women, if and it could be, what was produced was soulless beings. Now, I have a hard time on that because angels are always in the masculine, but I don't know that they're allowed to procreate. But if you look at the other version of that, which I've tended to favor, that it's a Sethite line in that text, that what happened is that godly men intermarried with ungodly human women, you still get the same thing and how it works in the end times, although maybe not to the extent. But what you found in Noah's day was that people were totally gone. So let's look at that real quickly this morning. Genesis 6:5. Genesis means beginnings. Isn't that ironic that it's the first book in the Bible? There's nothing that's irony with God. Genesis 6 and 5. Remember the context here. We don't know exactly how much time had passed, but it was very likely there was quite a few people on the earth at this time. But what the Bible teaches us is that Noah and his boys, his three boys, his wife, and their three wives were righteous people. They were saved. See, that's the bottom line. They were not saved by anything they did. They were saved because they believed the God of the Bible. By the way, you think we're outnumbered today? Well, we're not so bad off yet. Christians, there's still a few of us around. You know, maybe God's put up with all this stuff because of us, and he wants to see more people saved. I mean, you can come up with a lot of reasons, but we're not this far gone yet, folks. There is hope, and there was hope there. Noah preached for 120 years. You think my messages are long? But here's what God saw and why he brought about a flood. By the way, you better believe in the flood. And if you don't, go outside and look sometime. Go down by the Mississippi River. Go to the Grand Canyon. Go wherever you... The evidence of a worldwide flood is as plain as the nose on your face, unless Satan has done what? Deceived you into thinking no such thing has happened. By the way, that's a big part of the downfall in the church and in our culture today, is that people nominally accepted, even though they may not have been believers, saved people, they believe, yeah, God created this because there's evidence of it. But what we've been taught for the last 100 years in our institutions of higher learning is this all evolved. Came from some random event. Folks, Satan, see, when you start thinking about all this, Satan hasn't not touched anything. And that's a big one. And God saw, this is 6:5 Genesis, and God saw that the wickedness of man was what? Great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. By the way, did you know the Bible talks against us having or using our imaginations? Now, I'm not saying that it's against us brainstorming about thinking about how we can, and letting the Spirit feed us through the Word again, how to accomplish something or go about something. But you know what? If our imaginations go to the wrong places, it's wicked stuff. And that's where it all starts, according to Brother James. You know, he says, you get a thought implanted in your head and you begin to process that and bring it to fruition. And you know what I'm talking about here today. It can involve all kinds of things. You know, Satan's planted in my heart, John, you could use a better truck. Rather than doing what God has said, John, be happy with the old one. Let's see how far it'll go. I'll keep it running for you. Even though my wife's had a little conflict with me about that. The old Dodge had a little struggle with it. 246,000 miles, I think. It was her dad's truck. And that's the excuse I give of why we keep fixing it. Jory, you'll have to advise me on that. But anyway... The imaginations of the thoughts of the heart were only evil continually. Folks, we're not far from that today. Again, the evidence is out there that we've just described some of today. And then, of course, God says, it repented the Lord that he had made man. In other words, it grieved. That's what that word repented means here. God was sorry he created this whole thing because it had turned in a way that touched his heart. It says here, he was grieved at the heart. And so God had to judge sin. And that was the great flood that came about. But this was all precipitated by demonic activity. Once again, either if it was the fallen angels that procreated, and we have the Nephilim, which is a soulless bunch of people running around, or if it came from the Sethite line where people intermarried into the ungodly line, whatever way you cut it, it's the same influence. When we stray from God, demonic activity is going to what? Exponentially come unglued. Yeah. Now, let's go over to Revelation 12 for a minute, and our time's about up today. And why I bring this up, and then we'll go back again next week, if that's okay with everyone. There's always choices, you know, like I say at school. Some of you LMers back there in the back, someone called me Mr. Brown this morning. I said, don't call me Mr. Brown. That's only for school. But tell me, students in the back row, what do I always tell the classes at L&M? You always have choices with me. Do it my way or there's the... Kinzer, how would that go over up at Muscatine High? Wouldn't go over, huh? Yeah. That's why I don't go up there. And I don't just tell the students that, but I tell the faculty or the administration the same thing. If you don't want me here, I know how to get out the door. I'm pretty blunt, aren't I, Woodrow? But I'm not that tough. You can ask those students back there. We have some fun. Revelation 12:7-12. Because here's the thing, folks. There's demonic activity going on all around us. I've got this down, but read the book of Daniel sometime, chapter 9, verses 20 through 21, and chapter 10:10-13. You know, the angel Gabriel had to come to Daniel's rescue, but he was delayed. If you read that text, he was delayed 21 days. From what? Where's the preacher back there? He was dealing with the prince of Persia, Satan. Even the archangels. Of course, Satan was an archangel that fell. We learned that last week. He was the head angel. But they were delayed 21 days getting to Daniel because they were in spiritual warfare in the heavens. Folks, we don't see that, but the Bible tells it. But, you know, we can see it. People have dabbled in it. It's real. Fortune telling. The Ouija board. Name some other things. Conjuring. Witchcraft. Psychics. Horoscope. Magic. It all comes under this category of spiritual warfare in the heavens. It's Satan reaching out to people to derail them from the truths of the Word of God, folks. And it's dangerous. If the archangels had to be delayed 21 days in this battle, know this, there is warfare waged in the heavens today. Now, a couple things before we read this text, and then we'll fold her up for today. Or like Ron Gonder used to say, pass in the songbooks. Some of you don't even know who Ron Gonder was. We'll leave that for another week. Or ask some of the old-timers here. But folks, the bottom line with all this is that, you know, there are things going on in the heavens that we don't even comprehend, but we're warned about. We need to be very careful with this stuff. But what's taking place today, this is what I wanted to make sure that we know, is that Satan still has access to the throne of God. He's defeated, but God, for the purposes he has allowed him to come before the throne. But Satan, one of his names is the accuser of the brethren. If I'm repeating this, Kay, you watch my repetitions. Did I talk about this last week? What Satan is doing today is he is accusing those of us here this morning that are believers before the throne of God the Father. He's saying, you know, John Brown's a rotten, no good person. Is that true, by the way? Yes, it is. Oh, Kim, you didn't need to. Get thee behind me, Job's wife. No. But I am, and you are too. And Satan says, whoever, Kay, you surely wouldn't be in that category. No. But you know what? We've got a good attorney, and that's Jesus, our advocate. And he's saying, hey, wait a minute, Father. This guy's pulling a fast one here. I died for those people. My blood covered John's sin. He covered Kay's sin. He covered Kim's sin. He covered Alicia. I couldn't even see you there. No. And God says, I give him the pass. Because when I look for that sin of John, I see Jesus' blood. Yes. Hallelujah, praise God. But you know, Satan to this day still has that access to God the Father to do that, to accuse us. But folks, I want to see, I hope someone will be moved to say hallelujah, praise God here this morning. There's coming a day when that will no longer be the case, but it's not going to be a good thing for the earth. And it's not going to be a good thing for you today here if you're unsaved, if you're apart from Jesus Christ. Because what we think is bad today is going to be multiplied worse. I don't know how to say that correctly this morning. Let's take a look here in Revelation chapter 12, and let's start with verse 7. I think I taught on this last week. But there, did I? I'll tell you, folks, I am struggling with my memory. I can't even remember if I've taken my pharmakia at times. Kim already uses that little box where you put your... I struggle with my Levemir shot at night because sometimes I fall asleep in the chair and did I take that or did I? Anyway, and there was what? Read it with me here, folks. War in heaven. It's going on today, folks. There's people that aren't here today at Fruitland for reasons because they said, I don't want it, I don't need it, and Satan got the victory on them today. And that warfare is in heaven, but it's translated to earth too. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. That's Michael, Gabriel, the two archangels, of course, and the good angels, two-thirds of the angels. They fought against the dragon, who is Satan, fought, and his angels. And Satan prevailed not. The dragon prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. Now listen, yeah, amen, but listen to this. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. By the way, he has around 40 names. I think it's 38 to be exact. Notice this, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, Satan is the prince and power of the air today. He has access to this world, but folks, again, he's a self-deceiving personality, okay? But when he is thrown out of the access of heaven, he's going to be angry. We'll see that here in a minute. And when he's confined to the earth or the expanses apart from heaven, folks, he's going to go at it with all he can. I believe this with all my heart. I believe this will take place in a time yet to come in the tribulation period, but it's being ramped up today. Because this is how Satan works. It's deceptive. What we just proffered this morning, 40, 50, 60 years ago, things have changed. It didn't change. You know, it's like I said, was it Archie Bunker, the first guy that used the H-E word on TV? Now, that's nothing. Gradually, see, that's how Satan works. Anyway, when he gets cast out of that access to God and he's cast down here to the world, he's gonna make his anger known to us. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night, relentlessly. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. By the way, it's the blood of Jesus that overcomes our sin and the power of it. When Satan sees the blood of Christ, he cannot deal with that because he cannot shed blood or do anything of a like way to bring us into fellowship with himself, and he cannot be brought into fellowship with God. I believe the angels are soulless beings. In other words, they cannot be recovered. The fallen angels have no plan of recovery. We have Jesus Christ today who's willing to recover us because he loves every soul. A soul comes to be when it's created at conception. It is the eternal component of humanity. Anyway, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. By the way, that's the other defense we have, the blood of the Lamb and the word of God. Remember when Jesus was tested even by Satan? What did he say? Thus saith the Lord. The word of God will keep us safe. And they love not their lives unto death. This is devout, out and out, all hands on guard combat here with Satan. That's what's going on today. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Woe, here is W-O-E, always W-H-O-A when you see it, because it's something big. And this is big. And this is a warning that Jesus gave the Apostle John to write this down here on Patmos Island. He says, let the people know that what's coming down, John. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great, notice there, folks, it says wrath. He is torqued. He's torqued at God. He's torqued about this whole thing and the way it's gone because he still believes he can win. And notice what he's going to do. He has great wrath because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Satan knows it, but he's still deceiving himself. He is going to come in the day we live and with more times in the future. He's already started it a long time ago. I mean, it's always existed, but it's been ramping up, folks. Satan's days are numbered, but he's out to take out everyone he can. And there's people here today that he's done that to today. Maybe even Christians. He said, you don't need to be there. You don't need to hear this. Well, I've got to close. We'll come back next week and look at the dangers of the demonic realm. Don't mess with it, folks. It's dangerous. Don't go there. By the way, I can say this. I believe God has protected me from that many times in my Christian experience. And I'm sure He has you too. If you've never lived with all the things of the world, thank God. And all this influence. Thank God for His protection. And don't mess with it, Christians. Or if you're here today and you're not a believer, you better come under the protection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need a good attorney. This is big stuff. The bottom line, folks, we'll look into this deeper. We'll finish it next week, Lord willing. But you better be sure that you're under the protection of the Savior, because as I closed last week and I'll close again today, you know what's going on. And you know that Satan is on the prowl more so than ever. He wants to take us all out. And I take that to heart today, folks. He wants to take me out. He wants to take you out. No, he can't take our salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. But what a mess we can make of things as the saved if we let this demonic influence overtake us. You know? So be sure that you're under protection of the Savior as we close today. And resist Satan and his angels and his influence in your life. And I want to close with James 4:7, but we'll come back to all this next week. But there's a very simple remedy with the help of God. James chapter 4. And it says this, as we deal with Satan and his angels and his dominion. Verse 6 says, "And he giveth more grace." Aren't you thankful for the grace of God? "For wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble." That's the first thing. Wipe out your pride. None of us are anything other than what the Lord has graciously allowed us to be. It's nothing you've done on your own or I've done on my own. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Are you in the capacity today to be humble or to be humbled before God? Before you leave the building, if you need humbling, and you know that this morning, the Spirit spoke into your heart, receive it from the Lord. Say, "Lord, yeah, I've gotten way out of line about who I am and what I am, and I need the humility." Remember what we said in the whole start of this preaching. Pride is what took Satan down, and it's what will take you and I down. And then he says this. He says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God." If you're under satanic attack today, submit to God and say, "Lord, protect me. I can't do it myself. I need you." Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. And then actively resist the devil. In other words, when the thoughts come into your head to do something or to look at something or to, you know, be involved with something, it's not that easy, but if we will resist it, God will help us. If we see no desire in our lives to resist it, then we're on our own. Resist the devil. And what's it say there? He will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners, and ye sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Folks, what we need in our day is we need the protection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need a return to He and His Word and a close walk with Him. I invite you today because Jesus invites you. I'm just the facilitator to remind us all again how much we need Jesus. Amen? And I want to tell you, He's here for you today. And all you have to do is acknowledge this today. Acknowledge what's going on. Acknowledge what's going on in our lives. And go to Jesus and ask His help. And He will help you. He will save you if you've never come to that point and realize, yeah, we're not right. We're all sinners. We're not worthy of God and His glory. But God and His love for us through Christ came and paid the price for our sins if we will but accept that. Believe it is what it is. You got to believe you're a sinner before you can be rescued by salvation of God. But it's available to you today. There's no religiosity to it. There's no muckety-muck. There's no rigmarole. If you need Jesus, call on Him. He'll be there for you. But if you need help, you can talk with me. I can't get you there, but I can show you from the Word. But it's that simple. There's no, you don't have to do anything but believe that you're a sinner and believe that Jesus is a Savior that died for you. And you want to be released from this power, this satanic influence in your life. By the way, If you are not released from it, you will be under it for eternity. This is not light duty stuff today, folks. It's heavy duty, and it's heavenly duty. And I better quit because I'm way over time. You got the point? Amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand. This is a good hymn to sing at this time because it's a good hymn of introspection. Do you belong to Jesus today? By the way, it's all right if you're struggling, but know this, Jesus is available. And we as the family of God are available to help each other. And like I tell you every week, why am I up here? Well, you're the pastor, John. It's your responsibility. Yeah, but you know why else? Because this is reality with me. Come and join me today. We won't commiserate. We'll celebrate the victory in Christ. If you don't know Him today as your Savior, you have a question about that, I'd love to help you with that. You can know today before you leave this place. You can know that you will not be brought under the eternal consequences of what Satan wants, and that's destruction in a place called hell. So, I belong to Jesus. To Jesus, He had me free, and He keeps me singing sweet melody. Fills my life with sunshine, whatever betide. I belong to Jesus, He's by my side. Can you say that today in your heart? Maybe we're struggling, but you know what? He will never leave us or forsake us. But if you have a question about that, knowing that when we go out into this life, we're under, again, the possibility of satanic attack. Today, run to Jesus. Run to the attorney who, again, pleads our case before the throne of God. I'd be glad to talk with you here at the back door as we go out today, but I'm going to ask today that Brother Denny would dismiss us with a closing prayer.